Thank you, choir. What a pretty song. Please join me for the scripture reading from Psalm 30, as printed in your bulletin. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you had established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for your word. And Father, we pray that you open our hearts and our minds this day that we might hear what you have to say to us, that we may go forth from this place eager to serve you, and that we may rejoice in your love. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. Please stand in honor of God's word. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The call to worship had just been pronounced starting Easter Sunday morning service in an East Texas church. The choir started its processional, singing "Up from the Grave, Heroes," as they marched in perfect step down the center aisle to the front of the church. The last lady was wearing shoes with very slender heels. Without a thought for her fancy heels, she marched toward the grating that covered the hot air register in the middle of the aisle. Suddenly, the heel for one shoe sank into the hole in the register grate. In a flash, she realized her predicament. Not wishing to hold up the whole processional without missing a step, she slipped her foot out of her shoe and continued marching down the aisle. There wasn't a hitch. The processional moved with clock-like precision. The first man after spotted the situation, and without losing a step, he reached down and pulled up her shoe, but the entire grate came with it. Surprised but still singing, the man kept on going down the aisle, holding in his hand the grate with the shoe attached. Everything still moved like clockwork. Still in tune and still in step, the next man in line stepped into the open register and disappeared from sight. The service took on special meaning that Sunday, for just as the choir ended, "Alleluia, Christ arose," a voice was heard from under the church shouting, "I hope all of you are out of the way because I'm coming out now." The little girl closest to the aisle shouted, "Come on, Jesus, we'll stay out of the way." Easter did not end two Sundays ago. Actually, in the church calendar, Eastertide is now until Pentecost, which is May 15th this year. We are called to live as Easter people each day, and nothing we could ever do can stop the resurrection power of Jesus. This morning, we look at yet another resurrection account. Specifically, we look at the life of that one disciple, Peter, the bold, burly fisherman who seemed to have foot-in-mouth disease, the one called from his work as a fisherman when Jesus said, "Come, follow me." And he dropped everything, and he followed. And Peter's heart truly wanted to follow Jesus. But Peter certainly had his moments of failure along the way. He wasn't able to grasp the will of God. He boldly told Jesus that he wasn't going to the cross. He fell asleep when Jesus asked him to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. When the soldiers came for Jesus, he could have created real trouble when he cut off the ear of the soldier had Jesus not intervened. And he repeatedly said that even if the other disciples forsook Jesus, that he would die for him. And then in the heat of it all, when Jesus needed a close friend to stick with him, Peter became the ultimate failure when he denied him 3 times that he did not know the Lord. You remember the scene? He was in the courtyard and was warming himself by a fire. As Jesus was questioned and abused and was being beaten, and Peter is asked, "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" And he says, "I am not." And then he's asked, "Didn't I see you with him in the olive grove?" "No, no." 3 times, "No, no, no, I don't know him. I'm not with him." Luke's gospel tells us that Peter remembers the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And the rooster crows. And Jesus looks straight at Peter. And Peter remembers Jesus' words. And he goes outside and weeps bitterly. Imagine, if you will, what it was like for Peter at that moment. He probably pretty much felt like a crumb, a failure. He was confused. He didn't know what was really happening, maybe inside his head and in his mind. And remember that Sunday after the crucifixion, when Peter runs to the tomb and Jesus' body is not there, and the excitement that Peter had in his heart. And then there were the resurrection appearances that Jesus makes, and we can imagine Peter being so excited and to see Jesus standing in his presence, alive and resurrected. But don't you wonder if Peter still had those lingering feelings of shame, that maybe he couldn't fully realize the power of Jesus' resurrection and all that it meant. And so in this morning's account, we find our friend Peter saying that he is going out to fish. Peter and 6 others go out to fish, and they catch nothing. And early in the morning, Jesus is standing on the shore. They don't recognize him at this point. And he tells them where to throw the net. Now that sounds very familiar. Remember early in Luke's gospel, there was the miraculous catch of fish when Peter initially was reluctant to follow Jesus' words, but he does and he catches an unbelievable amount of fish. Peter at that point falls at Jesus' feet and says, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." And Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Well, here we are again in a very similar situation. Jesus tells them, throw the net, and they find an overwhelming number of fish. John recognizes it's Jesus, and Peter jumps out of the boat. He's ecstatic. They bring the boat with all the fish to shore, and they take note that Jesus has a fire already going, and he's prepared to cook breakfast for the disciples. And they finish eating, and Jesus' conversation is now directed toward Peter. Now remember, he has refreshed Peter's memory of calling him to follow him as a disciple in another miraculous catch of fish. So Peter, I'm sure, is thinking, I remember the first time. Very similar situation, fishing, couldn't catch anything. Yeah, I remember. Maybe that's what's going on in Peter's mind as he now sits by another fire. Very similar to where he denied Jesus. But Jesus has Peter's undivided attention, and there's some business that they need to take care of. As Jesus works at the heart of Peter, and he asks him 3 times, "Do you love me?" Do you truly love me more than these? Peter responds, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus says, then feed my lambs. And then he asks them again, do you truly love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then take care of my sheep. And then he asks him again, do you love me? And Peter's kind of put out now and hurt. And Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. And then he tells him what kind of death that Peter will face as his disciple. And then he tells him, follow me. Three times denial, three times Peter is questioned about loving Jesus. And Jesus forgives Peter. He accepts him where he is in answering his questions, and he commissions him to take care of his sheep. If it had not been for the resurrection, Peter would not have known that kind of forgiveness. And the same is true for you and me. As Julie Link states in Our Daily Bread, God can change our blunders into wonders. He can take our messes and our mistakes, and he can turn them into something great. Later in Acts, we see that Peter clearly knows he has been forgiven, and he's about the work of the Lord that the Lord has called him to do. For he has just healed a beggar who is crippled from birth. And then he addresses the crowd of onlookers. And this is what he says to them. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. What powerful words Peter proclaims to that crowd later on when he's out doing the work of the Lord. He knows he's been forgiven. He knows what times of refreshing are like. God can change our blunders into wonders. Those are encouraging words for us that when we mess up, God can still use us and use us in powerful ways. That same question Jesus asks Peter is asked of me and you as well. Do you love me? Do you really love me? What would your response be to Jesus? Because if we really love Jesus, we will take care of his sheep. We will tend them. We will feed them. We will provide tender, loving care no matter what the cost. Reverend Dr. Craig Barnes, who is the current president of Princeton Seminary, shared in a sermon to new students some powerful words from this scripture passage. He talks about flannel boards. How many of you remember flannel boards in Sunday school? You younger people have no clue what a flannel board is, probably, but flannel boards were used where you had the little figures and they had a flannel backing, and then you had a flannel board on an easel, and the Sunday school teacher would put the figures up there as they told the story. Well, he remembers that when he was in third grade, he said that he was in the class of Mrs. Williams. And he describes how she had these fingers, these long fingers, and she would smooth out the flannel board figures. But when he said we came across the Apostle Paul, it would take her a little longer to smooth him out because the Apostle Paul had been overused in many stories. And then he talked about when he and a little friend of his were fighting over who would hand the Apostle Paul to Mrs. Williams, and his little head was torn off, and so he had to be taped back together again. And then some of those vacation Bible school kids had spilled Kool-Aid on the Apostle Paul, so he was really stained and discolored and taped together, and it took a while to get him up there on the flannel board. But then he says these words. It was as if a holy mystery was being proclaimed to me in my childhood. This is it. God is not easy on the people God uses. When you look at the people who are used the most in the biblical drama, by the end of their lives, every one of them is taped together and a little bit stained. The Apostle Paul himself is thrown out of so many cities in the Roman Empire, usually with a shower of rocks behind him. But what do these apostles talk about in their epistles, especially near the end of their lives? They talk about the great surpassing joy they have. They talk about the perfect love that casts out fear. They talk about a holiness they have discovered by the holiness of Christ. Why are they so excited? Why are they so joyful? Because they got used in the story even when it led them to a place they'd rather not go. That is Jesus' promise to you. You can be of use to the great biblical drama that is still unfolding between God and the people of God in Jesus Christ is dying to love. And it all begins by saying, Lord Jesus, you know everything. You know that I love you. Now, remember the story, the beginning. Remember the little girl and her words. Come on, Jesus, we'll stay out of the way. Are you willing to say to Jesus, come on, Jesus, I'll stay out of the way. I will put my own agenda aside. I will be willing to sacrifice. I will be willing to take the harder road at times to follow you, because that is what it's like to be your faithful disciple. But Jesus, I can only do this by loving you. For you give me the capability. You give me the power. You give me the strength to feed your sheep, to tend to your lambs. I can only do it by loving you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, I really do love you. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the life of Peter. We thank you, Lord, that he was so real. We thank you, Lord, that the story of his failures is so evident in Scripture. And we thank you that at the end of this gospel, Lord, you restore him in a beautiful, wonderful way. And you use him in great and powerful ways throughout Scripture as he goes out and faithfully shares the good news, as he faithfully tends the sheep. And Father, we thank you for that story because it helps us in our own lives to realize the times when we've messed up, to realize the times when perhaps we have denied your presence in our lives by some of the things we say and do. And yet, Lord, you desire to restore us. You use us in great and powerful ways. And Lord, we know that we cannot go out and tend your sheep and do what you have called us to do, to love other people, unless we first love you, because we need your strength, we need your power, we need your faithfulness in us every day. So we ask, Lord, this day, help us to love you with our whole heart and our mind and our strength, so that we can go out into the world and we can tend to your sheep. And Lord, when we fail, help us to remember the resurrection power that restores us, that forgives us, and gives us the strength to move on. We thank you that you do turn blunders into wonders. Help us, Lord, to turn over the blunders of our lives that you may do wonderful things in us and through us, that your whole world may know Jesus. For we ask and we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.